tell me where in the world is
crying in San Diego.
Welcome back to another episode of Where in the World is Crime in San Diego.
Happy Monday, everybody. I hope you remember to change your clocks to 1 hour spring forward.
Yeah, we don't fall back. Yeah. We spring forward.
Spring forward.
And I think most likely people are going to be like zombies today. I know I felt it on Sunday yesterday because I worked and I had to wake up an hour earlier and I definitely felt it. I needed an afternoon nap.
And if you're feeling it today, I'm right there with you. Hopefully this makes your Monday just a little bit better.
So I hope you guys had a chance to listen to our last week's episode, NFL, Not For Long, where we talked about Sergio Brown and murdering his mother, Myrtle Brown. It's a weird case. You did a really great
very
job.
Very bizarre.
Yeah. Very, really good job. Still let us know what you guys think. If you haven't listened to it yet, go listen to it now.
We had our guest host Miggy on there who had a completely set of a different perspective, so that was interesting and fun to listen to. So yeah, go check it out, let us know your thoughts, and let's get into it.
Yes, let's get into it. So we definitely have a new week, we have a new episode. This one, I know right before we kind of went off on our little break, Angie and a couple other listeners sent us this story. And we were going to do it initially right when it happened, but then, you know, pregnancy stuff happened.
Well, that, and it's really hard to do a case as it's developing because there's not a lot of news out, especially during current investigations. There's only so much that's willing to be shared with the public. And that's usually the biggest struggle with doing a very fresh or current story, is that there's not much to share. Everybody's reading the same headlines, but there's not a lot of information coming from the police departments. So it's been quite a bit. And I think that we're going to get as much as we're probably going to learn about this case to this point, which is why we're comfortable doing it now.
I'll totally agree. Yeah. And I think there is still a few more details, a lot of details that they haven't released to the media yet. But I feel like it's important for us to share and get this word out to everyone who hasn't heard about it yet.
And I just want to remind everyone that this is a real family who is still healing from this as it's very fresh. So there are things that may never be shared out of respect for that family and for their mental health and their sanity. So I just want to keep that in mind as we go forward. All right. So this week's case will be called Missing Parents. And the sources for this week are NBC 7, CBS 8, ABC 10, Fox 5, and San Diego Union Tribune, along with GoFundMe. And our disclaimers are domestic violence, self-harm, suicide, murder, and was there anything else I'm missing?
Strangulation.
Yes. Jeez. All right, guys. So let's get into it. We are going to start in San Ysidro, California, technically San Diego.
Technically, TJ.
It's if you're not familiar with San Diego, it is the very last town before you cross into Mexico. So it's very Latin influenced. A lot of Mexican culture is very lively there. So we are going to introduce the Soto family. So mom Melissa is 45 years old. Dad Johnny Soto is 52 years old. And they live in San Ysidro, California. And they have three kids, Alexia, Vincent, and Elise, who are young adults, and one of them is still in high school. They recently separated in July of 2023. They'd been married for over 20 years. And it seems like they were still on amicable terms because of the kids. Didn't seem odd for them to talk or like too much hostility, just based off of like family interviews and stuff.
But they kind of still, I guess, to keep the family together.
Co-parented or still interacted.
Yeah, still kind of feel normal. Yeah, I mean, considering that Elise was a teenager, still, like, I mean, you do want to keep your family together as best you can.
Yeah. So they seem like they were pretty mature about their separation. We're going to fast forward to December 20th, 2023, which was the beginning of Christmas week. Vincent, their son, was the last one to see his parents alive. When he got home, it felt like a normal night. He was just sitting there watching TV. And his parents walked in and they asked him if he could leave for a minute because they were going to talk. Which to him didn't raise any red flags. It wasn't something super odd. As we mentioned, they seemed to have had a decent relationship. So he left the house, not assuming anything, just to give them some space. He waited for about an hour and nothing. Before he got a he texted his dad, or his dad texted him, saying that they'd left and that he could come back to the house. So, like, house is clear. We're good. We're going to be out for a little bit. Not a big deal. A few hours passed, though, and the parents still weren't back. And at this point, he kind of started to worry, but then didn't overthink it at the same time. Kind of like, I don't know, like spidey senses, I guess. But the following morning, when they still weren't back and there was no text, no notification, that felt completely out of the norm. So they decided to reach out to local police and report them missing.
So it's the next morning, Christina Sandoval, which is Johnny's sister, was contacted by her niece and nephew, nieces and nephew, saying that both their parents were missing and they were just trying to reach out. So she went over and she saw that Melissa and Johnny left with all their clothes behind. They left with as if it kind of seemed as normal as it could possibly be, where you just go out for a couple hours and come back home. But what was really strange is that Melissa had left her phone behind, her wallet was left behind, and her keys were actually outside on top of her car, which is really strange, right?
Yeah.
Like, first of all, your car keys are on top of your car outside in the driveway. Someone can just easily just drive off.
Walk up and take your car. Yeah.
So it was really strange. And on top of that, Johnny's phone had been shut off. So the night before, Elise had messaged Johnny around 10:37, 10:40 to say, hey, can you please pick me up? And he just responded with a K. And that was it.
Like the letter K?
Just the letter K. Elise waited, no response. So then she decided to call her sister Alexis to come and pick her up. When they got home, you know, mom and dad weren't there. They were just like, where are they at? I don't know. They just go to bed. Then it's the next day. This is where we're at now. So neighbors have cameras, right? We have Ring cameras. We have security cameras. Neighbors were able to get surveillance footage that appeared to be Johnny and Melissa's last footage. It's around 8:51 p.m. And one of the neighbors' video footage shows that the car that Melissa drives is pulling into the driveway at the Sota home. And then according to another neighbor, appears to be a man that gets out of the car, which we can assume that it's Johnny. Then at 10:19, the same car pulls out of the driveway, turns around, and backs into the driveway reverse. Now, this is unusual because Melissa doesn't usually park the car in reverse. I can probably say that I do that a lot. I've never seen you, Angie, back up a car into the driveway.
Yeah, you kind of know people's like parking habits, or like at least driving habits, of like what's normal, what's not. That would not be common for me.
So the same neighbor then got footage at around 10:33 that the same man got into the silver Toyota Tacoma and drove off. Now we could assume that it is Johnny because Johnny does drive a silver Tacoma. But on the footage, there is no sight of Melissa at all. He did note that he also caught footage of where the man opened the garage and opened the trunk of the Camry, but there was nothing left behind. Like, the family searched the car, there was nothing in the trunk. So Melissa wasn't in the trunk of the car, say, for instance, right? It's now been a couple days since the 20th, and it's now Christmas Day. The family has put out flyers of missing person. They've contacted police. They've contacted our local news stations to try to get word of have they seen the Soto family, or have they seen their vehicle anywhere. Being so close to Mexico, they contacted the Border Patrol agency to see if the vehicle had crossed over into the Mexico side, and they hadn't reported anything. So it's just really strange because it's like they almost completely vanished from the face of the earth.
I think this was the point where everybody was seeing it on social media, on news stations. It was just very vivid and out there, and the word was being spread so quickly. And I think this is where we started getting the most influx of messages coming in that, like, something was happening. And it already kind of felt like foul play to most people.
Yeah, I agree, because this is where, like, oh, look at this, a missing family. Like, oh, no way, this is very, and it's right around the holidays. And Melissa's mother, what's her name? Conception?
Concepcion.
Concepcion. That's okay, because it's the way you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. But she's Filipino. What I found out from Angie, right? That's just Filipino name, which is, I guess, a really common name. I had no idea. You learn something new every day. But I guess you can call it woman's intuition. But she had like this feeling in her gut that something wrong might have happened to Melissa. The Sotos, they had a history of not being like good terms. Like, they were already separated, but they also had like a little bit of like potential domestic abuse in some way. Christina would say that Johnny would never hurt Melissa in any way. He loves his wife. He loves his family and kids. So it's very, it's very tough to assume that right off the bat. But sometimes when you have that gut feeling, you just stick with it.
It's like the reality versus the hope. I think the hope was to find them, and they had just either like been stranded somewhere, or like, you know, like we're still unharmed and alive and okay and just needed assistance. And the reality was that it probably, because of the length of time, they weren't going to be either alive or well by the time they were found.
Yeah. So it is Christmas Day. Melissa had recently, before the 20th, set up a Christmas tree at her parents' house before she disappeared. And they had left gifts under the Christmas tree. And the family just completely left them untouched.
I think that was their hope, that she was going to come back, and they didn't want to feel like they continued through Christmas knowing she was missing. So they were hoping that when she got home, they could all open them together. I don't think it was a heavy thing. I think it was like a hope thing.
Yeah, it was kind of like hoping for a Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
So it's now December 26th, the day after Christmas, and it's approximately 12:25. And we're going out to Campo, specifically the Golden Acorn Casino, which I've never been to, but I think I've driven by it. The distance between Golden Acorn Casino and San Isidro is 62 miles. U.S. Customs and Border Patrol agents got information that they had located the silver Tacoma truck that belonged to Johnny Soto in the parking lot of the casino. And in the front seat, there is a man and there's a body of a woman. San Diego police is called over to investigate, and they discover that the man had suffered a gunshot wound to the head. It was later discovered that this was Johnny Soto and Melissa Soto's bodies. Upon further investigation, it was determined that Melissa had died because of strangulation.
Which at the beginning, everybody believed was going to be a gunshot wound, because that was Johnny's case. So I think there was a lot of confusion with that, and with news coming out earlier than it should, and public speculation. So, which is another reason why I wanted to be super cautious about not spreading the wrong information.
Yeah. Initially, and then right then and there, that's when the detectives and they labeled this as a homicide case. Not too long after, that's when they decided to call this a severe case of domestic abuse. Detectives determined that Johnny Soto had strangled Melissa and that he committed suicide by gunshot wound to the head. This is where some of these details weren't necessarily clear, but they're still investigating it. And they're led to believe that Melissa might have actually died in San Diego, in San Isidro, and not in Campo.
Yeah, the working theory so far is that an altercation happened in the home, got out of control. She was unalived in the home, and then he drove out to Campo either to like get, you know, like dispose of the body, or at that point, who knows what his plan was. And then at some point decided to just unalive himself as well.
Yeah. And it's just hard, because I don't know if it was, you know, like kind of like in the heat of the moment.
It doesn't seem premeditated. No. Usually there's a lot more cleanup to it than this.
And it's just really unfortunate, because, you know, we're never going to know those direct answers, right? But at the same time, it just doesn't take it away where it's, you know, both parents are gone. And I feel so much for the Soto kids because mom and dad are no longer here with us. And
the week of Christmas. I mean, I know any time is a bad time, but the way that's going to taint their holidays moving forward and that split feeling of like, do you celebrate or do you mourn? I can only imagine the heartache that they're going through and again, the healing they're having to do, which is why we did want to keep this as respectful and like only share what we can confirm through reliable news sources, because there is so much speculation online about, you know, what happened or what the conversations were or how it happened. And again, everybody can have a theory, but we have to remember these are real people's lives.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, you know, it's very difficult, but Christina had set up a GoFundMe to help her nieces and nephew. And that has now since closed. Leonardo Domingo, which happens to be Melissa's brother, also set up a GoFundMe. And on there, he was quoted to say that she was a ray of bright light and will be missed dearly. And it's just hard. I mean, it's as much as sometimes relationships don't work, one should never result in like domestic abuse, domestic violence, or even suicide. That's just what this case is being called, that it was just a bad case of domestic abuse. And now we have two people that no longer are alive, and it's just hard because...
two people who still essentially had the rest of their lives ahead of them to watch their kids keep growing, to watch their achievements. And now not only are their kids impacted, but Melissa's parents and siblings, and they leave behind so many people that love and care for them.
Yeah, it's like Melissa... she requested to be cremated, which I'm like, you know what? Like when I ever die, I do want to get cremated. So make sure you understood that.
Which I know these conversations are hard, but we have had to have them a couple times, especially with these kind of topics.
Well, here's paying our respects to Melissa Soto and Johnny Soto for their untimely deaths. If you or anyone you know is experiencing domestic violence or abuse, you can always contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline number, calling 1-800-799-SAFE-7233. That's safe. Or even just texting Loveys to 22522. There's always resources out there for everybody. I know it's kind of corny to say, if you see something, say something, but it's like one of those things where we are always saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you know, if you have like that gut feeling, just go with your gut feeling because it could potentially save someone's life. So it is the end of our episode. We don't have an SBS this week. We've been kind of busy taking care of our sons in baseball and just working with life. And then just like a lot of things just come up out of nowhere.
And the weather wasn't helping. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, like I didn't want to go anywhere. It's been wet weather here in San Diego, which is great. I love the rain. We need the rain, more importantly. But we just haven't had a chance to go venture out anywhere, really.
I do have a couple suggestions that came in, which I have documented and hope to visit this week. So we will have some coming up. It just, time has been difficult. But we wanted to make sure that we were still here and we showed up on our Monday. So make sure to tune in every Monday for your next dose of Where in the World is Crime in San Diego? Till then, catch us on the next case.
And in case you don't see us, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Tell me, where in the world is
crime in San Diego? Hey,